Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to start in verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May the Lord bless the reading and teaching of His Word this night. Tonight we come to study biblical womanhood. Similar to what I said last week, this applies now. There's way more to this topic than can be discussed in one evening. It's impossible. And as I've been reading and studying, I've discovered that there have been more lies propagated about what it means to be feminine than even in what I've read compared with masculinity or almost any other subject. This is something that has been totally turned upside down over the last 100 to 150 years. There are several reasons for this. We're not going to get into all those reasons. But let me just ask this question. What is the common answer when someone says, how's a woman to make sure that she is protected and kept safe? How does she make sure she's protected? A lot of people will answer that, well, she needs to make sure that she has a what? A job. She needs to make sure that she is at least preferably a master's degree. And that is her ticket to security. There's been a lot of teaching on women's independence. And these things have slowly and over time come into the church and have turned the biblical injunctions on their head to where now people in the church believe the lies of the world. So when the news says something about a person coming on saying that God is not real, God is dead, well, we know better. How do we know better? Because God's Word says that He is alive, He was resurrected, that we know He exists because God's Word says it. But how do we know if they come on and say something to the effect of that more women are financially independent today than ever before? What do we say to that? We're doing pretty good. We're a product, it's a product of the wisdom of men. We've arrived. And both men and women say that. It's a product of our generation. Is that biblical for a lady to seek to be independent of anyone else? No. And we'll get to that. Now, again, this is geared towards ladies, but not just ladies who are young. This is ladies in general. Whether you are married, whether you are not married. Because the commendation of Proverbs 31 should be said of a woman upon her death, in addition to being said throughout her life. And if you see that you don't match up to what this woman does in Proverbs 31, all that means is you've not arrived yet. Okay. None of the men that we talked, when we talked about biblical manhood, none of the men in here have arrived at that either. So, you're alright. But something I don't want you to do is to think this is only applying to somebody else. Don't think, I wish so-and-so could hear this, because it would really be good. First, apply these things to yourself, but also to men. This applies. If you are married, you either have children. All the married men in here, all of us have children. Some have grandchildren. These qualities of biblical womanhood need to be commended. For a young man, there's a couple of things. First of all, you need to be looking for this and encouraging this in your Christian sisters. And you need to be looking for it, if the Lord will have you to be married, you need to be looking for this kind of wife. It's not something, it should not be said of the church as it's said of the world, that guys look to date one kind of girl and look to marry another. That is from hell. So that needs to be cast out. The world, again, has taught women to function in roles contrary to what God's Word has given. And in doing so, the church has been neutered. It has been rendered empty in many cases because we have lost our understanding of this. And in effect, the church, it's hard to describe, but in allowing faulty teachings about womanhood, and I'll also say about manhood, to come in, the church, instead of being the royal bride of Christ, has turned into something other than a pure bride. So, one more thing for introduction. I want to cite some of the sources that I'm using. One of them, did not mention it last week because it didn't have anything to do with manhood specifically, but it's a book by Anna and Elizabeth Botkin called So Much More on Godly Femininity. And also, I mentioned last week the five aspects of man by Bill Mauser. Well, his wife, Barbara Mauser, has a similar teaching called The Five Aspects of Woman. And I've taken a lot of these, in fact, pretty much all the points, and I've added one about biblical womanhood in this tonight. So, six aspects of biblical womanhood. Number one, the woman is the mistress of the domain. She is the mistress of the domain. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Begin in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Women were created in the image of God just as much as men were created in the image of God. Now, immediately here, I must speak to something that has, again, it has crept into the church, and that is the teaching that God is the great it, that God is male and female. But the Scripture does not call God male and female. It does say that He created, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. That is true. And God, it is true, is the perfection of every good quality in existence. But the Scripture nowhere calls Him a her. God is masculine. Jesus was born a man. He was not born a woman. You say, "Brother Matt, we know this. This issue is under attack right now." You can pick up Bibles at most Christian bookstores, and those Bibles are gender neutral. They refer to God. Some of them either refer to God as Him, and other places use her, or some refer to Him as it. They will not call God in the Hebrew and Greek masculine names given by the authority of God Himself. That's a problem. So again, now the command to take dominion that God gave, and we looked at this extensively last week in verse 28. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and so on. Okay, it said that God said unto whom? Him? Them. Both the man and the woman. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. We said last week that men were created to be rulers. They were created to take dominion. But women, and in this case, Eve, was given dominion along with her husband, under her husband's authority. She was the mistress of the land. She was the leader under her husband's authority. So she was given this task just as much as Adam was. Men and women are God's representatives on earth. They are created in His image, and as being created in His image, they display that image in the earth. We are to be doing the work of the Lord here today as believers. Yes, Adam and Eve lost that, but through Jesus Christ we have been redeemed. And as one dear brother and I were talking today, he was telling me, and he's not from the same background we are, but he was saying, brother, is it not amazing that the Lord has called us to, in a sense, redeem life to His glory? And I thought, wow, this brother's been doing some reading. He said, I've just been reading the Bible, and it makes a whole lot of sense to me. I had to be careful. I didn't want to shout amen right in his ear. But that is the role that men and women have been given. The woman, though, it's important to understand, as the mistress of her domain, she was not created to rule apart from man. She was created to rule with him, under him, as her authority. Paul will say this, and we're going to look at it later in 1 Corinthians 11, that she was created from man. This does not take away from her role as mistress of the domain. Instead, it allows her to flourish in this role. Ladies, you have a task. This is an important task. You have been given by God Himself dominion over certain parts of life. And you are called to exercise that dominion in those parts of life. And I'll go ahead and say, the large part of what we talk about tonight is going to have to do with what you are doing, not only in the church, but also, and even more, in the home. You cannot separate the domain of the daughters of God from the home. It's made clear in the Scripture that this is one of the primary places that you are given to rule. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. A lot of people think, and again because of some of the effects of feminism, that the fact that you're the mistress of the land, that the mistress of the domain, and that you are under the covenant headship of a man, whether it be your husband, your father, or someone like that, that that is binding. Well, let me ask you this. If you decided, if a fish decided that all of this water in this fish bowl was just way too much, and he couldn't really just get out and be free, so however he did it, he set up a miniature explosion, and that little fish inside that fish bowl rammed it through and exploded the fish bowl, and he goes on the floor. Now he's totally free. Is that the kind of freedom that you want? No. Why? You're not going to make it very long. A fish can't operate without water around him. Sisters, you were not created to operate independently. Every lady has some kind of covenant head. If you're married, it's your husband. If you're still living at home, it's your father. If your father has passed away, it could be an older brother. In some cases, and I believe that this is taught in one of Paul's epistles to Timothy, it can be through the church, leaders in the church. But this is the calling of God. And again, this is something that we bristle at. We say, no, I am on my own. You cannot function as God called you to, being totally on your own. The Lord has called you to a domain. He's given you a calling, and it is no low calling. I'll say this later, but the future of humanity in the kingdom of God depends on you fulfilling that calling. And I'm as serious as I can be about that. This area has been abandoned, and it shows. A lady is no less because of this. In fact, this is the way that the Lord has intended for you to shine. And one more thing under this term, as the mistress of the domain, we're not talking about that you will literally take on armor and a sword and, you know, you'll be a warrior princess type. But I will say, Proverbs 31 uses language of someone who is in the woman who is a type of warrior. In Proverbs 31, verse 17, says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That's battle language. You say, but she's not in battle because earlier it said she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands, and she is like the merchant's ships, and she bringeth her food from afar. It's talking about all these domestic things that she does, but then in verse 17 it says she girdeth her loins with strength. This is the way God has called women to battle. And please understand, He's called you to battle. You have a God-ordained task, and it is a war. But because of false teaching, we don't think of it that way. We think of it as a drudgery. And we said, the real place you need to go is out there. And the temptation under the mistress of the domain is to, again, assert yourself in some other place than where God has called you. But your warfare is in your home. I don't mean that's fighting with your husband and kids. I don't mean that's your warfare. But verse 25 of Proverbs 31, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Ladies, don't neglect your warfare. Take up your arms and engage the enemy. The Lord has provided you the battleground. You fight principalities, powers, forces of darkness of this, and rulers of wickedness in high places. You fight all of these in your home. And if you don't fight them in your home, there's no way that they can be fought in the world. So, engage where the Lord has called you. The second thing, a biblical woman is a helper or a completer. A biblical woman is a helper or a completer. Back in Genesis, now in chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Why was woman made? We did not cover this yet. But why was the woman made? What do we naturally answer with? We think, well, Adam was sad. He looked around and said, that's a hippo. That hippo's not very attractive. Hip's just not my type. Or he looks over and sees a rhinoceros. Couldn't kiss that. And we think, oh, then he finds that the Lord creates this woman just so he can have a buddy to talk to. But that's not what the Word says. Verse 18, Genesis 2, And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. The reason the woman was made was to help Adam complete his task in the land. This is a principle that Amanda and I heard made very clear by R.C. Sproul Jr. in his series called Bound for Glory. He pointed this out. But again, the man has a responsibility. He has a calling, not only as a ruler, but also he is a husbandman. He is to tend. He is to caretake. He is to be part of subduing the earth to build. But he cannot do this on his own. The man cannot fulfill his role apart from the woman. Just as I said earlier, ladies, you cannot operate as the Lord has called you to operate out from under the authority of your covenant leader. Men cannot fulfill their function, cannot fulfill what they are called to without the help of godly women. Now, the primary way that this is planned for is in the church. Excuse me. Let me go back. The primary way this is planned for is in marriage. This is the most often, after you've been preaching for a while, you start to answer questions just with the default, the answer is always either, God, Jesus, or the church. That's just the easy answer, so sorry. The way, though, that the Lord has planned and called for men and women to help complete each other is usually in marriage. But it doesn't have to be marriage. It can sometimes be with the fellowship of other sisters in the church. It can be through relatives. Because the Lord has provided all kinds of ways. But again, the primary way, not just me saying this, but in Scripture the primary way is in marriage. That's why it says in Genesis 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The woman was taken out of the man. Now, she could have been created immediately right at the same time with Adam. She could have. Or, even if she was made later, she could have been made of the dust of the ground. But she wasn't. She was taken from man to be a help to man. Sisters, in this area, you are greatly needed. No matter how independent men think they are, they cannot function apart from you. The Lord did not make us independent. We depend on Him, but He didn't even make us to where we can just be all by ourselves and we have this little umbilical cord to heaven, where we receive our spiritual nourishment and we can offer back up praise and it's just, me and God and that's all. Our God is Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there is within the Trinity the love of God flowing through. And God has chosen, in His infinite knowledge, He has chosen to save the world not just by God the Father, not just by God the Son, and not just by God the Holy Spirit, but through them working together. And in the same way, the task of taking dominion in the earth is not only the responsibility of the man. He must be helped. He was the crowning achievement of creation. The last thing, the last person that God Himself formed in the garden. Everything else was done. Ladies, you give us as men completion and maturity. Sure, guys can be husbandmen and we can build and we can think, I've got it, this is it. This is how it's supposed to be. And then, husbands, tell me if you've ever had something like this happen. Your wife comes in and says, mm-mm, that's not going to work. That's no. And you say, what's wrong with it? In a much nicer tone, of course. And she says, it's ugly. I didn't think it was that bad. Maybe I could change it. No, it's ugly. And then you rearrange something, and you know, and she gets it the way that it needs to be, and you look at it, and you kind of go, you grumble to yourself because you know that it looks good, but you dare not tell her it looks good because then you'll be admitting that she was right, and even worse, that you were wrong. I've never had that experience myself, but I've heard other people who talked about it before, and I just lied to all of you, okay? I'm confessing that right now. But seriously, this is part of your calling. And then, this means, whether you're married or will be married, we must let our sisters in the Lord function in this calling. Because you know what we're bad about? Telling them in a very sweet, pleasant way to butt out. Because we like what we've done, and our pride is way too much to be told, and I'm not saying you would actually say this, but we don't want to be told by a woman how we're going to do what we're going to do. Well, the Lord provided for sanctification for that. And men have two options. Usually what we do is we get really upset when we're completed. We don't want to be completed. It stings the pride. Well, confess your stinking pride to God, and it is stinking. It's a stench in the nostrils of the Almighty. Confess it and rejoice that your wife is fulfilling her calling. But ladies, you have a temptation in this area to want to help your husbands out if he will not allow you to fulfill your calling. It's called manipulation. I'm going to get my way, whatever way it takes. And not going to spend a whole lot more time on that. I'm sure you've seen other ladies do this. Not that you would necessarily do it, but you've seen other ladies do it. Manipulate their husbands. That's a temptation. Well, you know what? Sometimes you just have to let him be wrong. Not remind him that he's wrong. Not harp on it that he's wrong. Not nag him. Just let it. And not let yourself become bitter. Now, how do you function in this way? Well, you are to take dominion. You help the man take dominion by taking dominion again in the home. In Titus chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. I'm sure some of you know this quite well already. In Titus 2, verse 5, referring to ladies, it said, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is referring to the calling that you have. Now, this speaks to something, and a lot of people go either one of two far-off directions in this. Does this mean that ladies are to not work outside the home? No, it doesn't mean that. A lady can work outside the home provided that she is fulfilling her calling to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, obedient to the husband, and raising the children that God's word may not be blasphemed. If all of these things are done and fulfilled, then there can be a place for that. But I'll say this, it is very hard. And usually when there is especially a young family where both spouses are working, it is very easy to allow the home to slide and maintain the outside work. And that shouldn't be. Because Paul explains, and not just Paul, God himself, using Paul, gives what the priority should be. The man is to take dominion in the outside world. And the place that the lady is called to take dominion is within the home. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no role for ladies in the church and even in places outside the church. There are. But again, the priorities must be straight. Proverbs 31, verse 11 says that the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Your calling in being a helper is so that your husband does trust you. If he does not, unless he is, I realize that you can name circumstances and you can say, well, so-and-so doesn't trust his wife and she's a real godly woman, okay. But this Proverbs 31 lady has a husband who is secure knowing that his wife is functioning as she should. Your responsibility is not to get another man's heart to trust you, whether it's your boss, whether it's someone in the government, the heart of your husband. And again, not trying to put too much on you, but civilization is at stake on whether or not you do this. Okay? Just to throw that out there. Go on to the third point. Biblical women are life givers. Biblical women are life givers. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow at thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now as life giver, the first thing we see is that he said, I will put enmity. Now here he is talking to the serpent, but he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The great prophecy here is not, women are going to be afraid of snakes for all time. Now is it true? Yes, and I know, in fact, quite a few men that are afraid of snakes too. That's not the great biblical prophecy. The prophecy is that there will be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The battle throughout all of history is between the sons of God and the sons of Satan. Augustine wrote a book called The City of God, and he described it like this. There's two cities who are going back and forth. There's the city of God, pictured as Jerusalem, and then there's the city of man, Babylon. And these two have always been at war, but where is the seed that will come and crush the serpent's head? Where does that seed come from? The woman. She is the giver of life. From her womb springs the one who gives eternal life. That's amazing. All the different ways God could have made His, you know, could have allowed His Son to be incarnate. He could have created him just like he did Adam, could he not? Could have formed him any way he wanted to. I mean, he can raise up sons of Abraham from the rocks. Seed of the woman. That's where life will come. Now this role is complementary to the role of the husband as the Savior. The man was created to be a deliverer. One who would save, one who would protect, go out to battle, war. And it is right for a man to do that. It's not wrong for a woman to refuse to go into physical battle because she is protecting her children. She is called to give life, to nurture life, to help sustain it. He is called to protect. See, all of these, the five roles, and what we're looking at, the six roles that women have and the six roles that men have, they complete each other. It is the way it's supposed to be. God promised that the woman would bear the true warrior. And this is displayed in ladies, the way that you give life is not just the fact that you bear children. And that is very important. Please don't misunderstand me that is important. We know in Psalm 139 and verse 13, he speaks of this role. He says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." In other words, he's formed him, crafted him. God does all of this inside the woman. She's physically a life giver. Now, we know that all life comes from God, but he has chosen to sustain that life through the body of the woman. Ladies, you've been given an ability that men don't have. You sustain the lives of your physical children. And it's a miracle from God. But that's not the only way you sustain life. In your home, you sustain life emotionally for your husband. Men are different. Some men are just, you know, the ultra macho type. Some are, they don't really care about all that display. Men are, they have all different personality types, and women do too. But these roles don't change. Ladies, if you are married, you have the ability to minister to your husband in ways no other soul does. You have the power to crush him. And ladies who will be married, be careful how you use that power. Oh, please be careful. Because you can make him want to crawl under a hole and stay there. At the same time, though, you can encourage him. And I'm just going to say this because the Bible does. Comfort in the Old Testament, at least in the instance of Isaac. Do you know how Isaac was comforted after his wife or after his mother died? Through physical intimacy with his wife. I'm not making that up. It said that he was comforted. In Proverbs 5, verse 19, it says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern." Let me start in verse 15. "Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love." You either do affect or you will affect your husband in the area of sexuality. And I know hearing about that from the pulpit may be odd. But I want to tell you what, there's plenty of it on the internet from the wrong perspective. Plenty. It's time that the pulpit speaks to stuff like this. Our forefathers didn't have near as much a problem with it as we do. Even those that we call Puritans, we think they were embarrassed about stuff, not hardly. But you affect life with your husband, and you affect it with your children. The whole atmosphere of your home, you have control over. We've all heard the expression, when mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Somebody didn't just make that up because they thought it's cute. Now, I'm not saying we should go around saying it, but there is an element of truth in that. When the lady of the home is in a foul frame of mind, it affects the home in a way that it doesn't even when the husband is in a foul frame of mind. You, ladies, will be like the rudder. Because again, this is the place that you are told that you are the ruler. You turn the rudder on the atmosphere in your home. And I've seen plenty of homes where the mom turned it and it crashed straight into the rocks. And you walk in and you know. You can be a visitor, never been there before, and you walk in and have a very strong desire to not come back. That is not the biblical home. So do things, ladies, that liven your home. Make your home a place where people want to come. Make it something that is encouraging, not where everybody wants to immediately turn around and walk out. Now, a temptation that you can face is you at times will want to steal life rather than give it. What are we told regularly? That there is time, you know, I need this particular block of time to myself. And I'm not denying when I'm saying this that there is a need at times for you to have refreshing, to be able to, you know, read God's Word and pray on your own. That is totally true. But it is not biblical to spend large amounts of time away neglecting the giving of yourself to the home. It's not. Your home displays whether you are ruling it well or not. Even the way it looks displays how you rule. Because again, this is your domain. You are the ruler, the leader, the despot of the house. If you go in to a business and there are papers strewn everywhere and receipts when you walk into the restroom all over the floor from about 10 minutes ago, and contracts that are crumbled up and say, I think it's in that pile of stuff over there. What would you think of that business? Don't go here. The same thing applies. And let me just briefly add this, though. This is not for men. This is not for you to use as a club to say, you heard what Brother Matt said. Why does this place look like this, huh? I mean, really, come on now. You need to get with it. Excellent rule of thumb here, man. If you don't like the way something's done in your house, change it. If you don't like the way the bathroom is, clean it. If you don't like whatever. And I'll tell you, if you will do it, you're going to motivate your wife in ways that you've not seen her motivated before. The way to help your spouse with this is not to create a list of orders. It's not to help her organize her time better and give her a, you know, here's a day planner. I'm going to let you organize yourself so you can, and I've already carved out the spot for when you clean the house. Display it by serving. And younger sisters, I know that you are not married yet, but this can be practiced in your home where you are and also in the church. Encouraging, nurturing, and working. Number four, and these are much shorter. Biblical woman is to be an example of submission. She's to be an example of submission. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Verse 6, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Biblical womanhood means being in submission to your covenant leader, your covenant head. Now, I'm not here referring to God. I'm referring to the one whom the Lord has placed over you, the man. And again, it doesn't mean that a lady is to submit to all men. Peter makes it clear. Paul makes it clear. Wives, you submit to your husbands. You cannot, men cannot ask a woman who is not his wife or his daughter to do something and then expect her to do it because, look, the Bible says submit. It just says submit to your husband. And again, you should also submit to your father if you still live at home. But this has been resisted. The idea of submission rubs us the wrong way. We don't like it. We say, yes, but I saw this Lifetime movie a while back, and this woman was supposed to be putting all the submission stuff into practice. By the way, Lifetime's a bad idea. Okay? I'll stop there on that. But that is not the way that we're supposed to interact. You don't give all the exceptions. Peter says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. What did this process say? If your husband doesn't believe, he should see by your work, by the way you live your life, that you are faithful. And maybe it would be that the Lord would see fit to use your example to convert him. But I'm going to tell you what, there has been so much taught against submission. We don't believe 1 Peter 3:1. We just flat don't believe it. Say, I've never seen that. Well, God's Word, I've never seen that, though. So, we have a choice. Who do we believe here? Now, ladies, this does not mean that if you have a husband who's abusive or who is cruel, that you just have to put up with it. That's not true either. The Lord has provided ways, and within the church, He has given local authority. I mean, He has given elders that you should be able to go to and explain the situation to, and when the church is operating the way it should, they should step in and then confront that man, if he's a church member. If not, the way things are right now, if he is being abusive in some way, then there are civil authorities to take this to. But I'm going to say, if you want your children to submit to you, you need to display that submission for them. Because if you expect them to submit, and then you go around bad-mouthing their dad, they're not going to learn anything. Number five, women are to be a ladies of wisdom. Biblical woman is a lady of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 1 says, wisdom hath builded her house, she has hewn out her seven pillars, she has killed her beasts, she has mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. All of you are one day going, or all of you ladies are going to be older women one day. All of you one day will be older women. Some of you may not have as long to go to be an older woman as others. But God's Word commands you to teach the younger women. You can't teach something that you don't know anything about. How do you know about it? You learn yourself. You read, you study, you listen to older godly women now. This is the message of Proverbs 9. What we have in Proverbs 9, a contrast between the lady who is personified as wisdom and lady who is foolishness. The lady who is wisdom calls to the simple, you who are simple, come in here and I'll teach you. It said that she's built her house. She's put the time in to build, and it can't be taken down easily. Women, give yourself to that which will build you up in wisdom, not to useless, trivial things. And guys, don't go after a lady who has no clue about biblical wisdom. You say, oh, but I can help change her. Forget it. No, you can't. And you won't. This appeals to a guy's ego. But don't. And ladies, just as men are called to be sages, you are called to live like Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 9. This should be your aspiration. And it begins at home. You first pass on your wisdom to your children. They need to hear it. So give it to them. If you have grandchildren, give it to them. And if you're not married now, you need to start the storing up of wisdom. There needs to be work and preparation for when you will be a mother. And then later you will be an older woman who can teach. Now, just a few things to put into practice that at least will start you on the path of godly wisdom. First of all, think before you speak. Be careful in that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3 says, a fool's voice is known by many words. If you talk a lot, you are more liable to be counted a person who doesn't have as much understanding. So be careful with what you say. This is part of how the heart of your husband will safely trust you. Lay up wisdom. And the last element of biblical woman is that she is the glory of the man. Biblical woman is the glory of the man. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Ladies, because you are created from the man, you are the glory of the man. When I say glory, I mean you display for either your father or your husband, you display a reflection of him. Now, when I say glory, I'm referring to the type of things that God's Word talks about, things like splendor, honor, majesty, praise, something that comes from a greater maturity. In Ephesians 5, we're told that Jesus is going to present the church to himself. He's going to be presented glorious. You display, and you are the majesty of your husband, or the majesty of your father. When you marry, you bring honor and majesty to that man because of who you are. This is God's Word talking. This is not me. I couldn't make this up. Just as the man reflects God to you, as he said, the man is the glory of God, you reflect your husband. And men, your wives are a picture of the type of husband you are. If your wife is difficult, and if she portrays a poor countenance, it's a display of you as a husband. So, if you're not married, guys, again, you need to be careful on this. And outward beauty doesn't cut it. You've heard of what's called a trophy wife. Well, Proverbs 31 says charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. That's not the glory we're talking about. You're called to sanctify and to cleanse her through the washing of the water of the Word, just like the Lord Jesus does to His church. So the way that you apply God's Word to her will help to mature her, and she will display the type of leadership that you give. Now, the temptation here at times can be, ladies, to reflect your own glory instead of the glory of your husband. Because, again, we don't like showing off for somebody else. We just like showing for us. Or we might like to show something, an ability that we have, something that we can do. When times get tough, I'm going to go do whatever it is I do best over here, because I certainly don't want to reflect the glory of that. Don't let yourself go down that road. Biblical womanhood means fulfilling your role as the glory of the man and displaying the type of man he is to the world. Sure, they don't deserve it most of the time, but you do it because that's part of your calling. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your Word, for the admonition you give us. Pray that we would be faithful to you and be faithful to your calling, and you'd bless us to grow in biblical manhood and womanhood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.